Psalm 146. And these Psalms are just full. And I mean, especially the ones toward the end of this book are just right full of praise. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Worshiping and praising the Lord. Mostly praise. Now, I got to share this with you. I had prepared a sermon. Melissa, you typed it. And I just didn't like that sermon. As a matter of fact, I threw it right in the trash can, if you want to know the truth. That's after you typed it. And I had some quotes from some old preachers. I have one here, and I'm going to read in just a moment from a guy. I was just trying to, you know, you try to find new stuff to say for Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, and you know what? Like, it's all been said. What more can you say? But I guess if it's been said before, you can say it again. So I had prepared this lesson, and I'm like, I just don't like this sermon. I just didn't like it. And I had one that I was going to preach. I had not preached it before, but I did quite a bit of studying on Psalm 103. But I, for some reason, didn't go there either. And I am going to go there Tuesday night with more of a devotion than an actual sermon. But so, Mel, all that work you did for nothing. But anyway, and me too. But it's not for nothing. You learn something maybe when you're typing. I don't know. So I want you to stand with me, and I'm going to try to do this. I didn't have as much preparation time in this. I just didn't like the other message, so I tossed it. I've never thrown one in the garbage can before I've preached it. I've thrown them in the garbage can after I've preached them, but never before. That was the first. Let's read a few verses. Let's read this whole psalm. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Which executest judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry, the Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord preserveth the strangers, he relieveth the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. Lord, this psalm summarizes what I want to say this morning and some of the thoughts that I want to share with the congregation. Now, I would just pray that somehow you would bless this message, that people would be encouraged by it, that they will learn to be a more thankful people, a person who offers more praise for you. And Lord, I commit it to you, and I pray that you would use it for your own glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when you think about praising the Lord, so this time of year, and not everybody hunts, but I like to hunt. And a matter of fact, I just like being in the woods or in the river somewhere. And my youngest son, yesterday he's out fishing in the middle of the river. And you say, why you go fishing? This is the best time of year to fish there is. People think summer is, but oh no. From September on is the best time of year to fish. But it's cold when you're standing in the middle of the river in January and in February and your hands freeze and your line gets ice on it and your reel freezes up sometimes when you get a fish on, you can't reel. So you got to put it in the water to loosen it up and then you get your hand down in there and crank on it. Doesn't that sound like a good time when the water's like 40 degrees? No, it doesn't sound like it, but that's what we like to do. Well, yesterday I shot at a deer and Tony was with me to Lego. And so I'm like, I knew I hit that deer. Mark, you saw me going out back. So if you ever shoot a gun, you know when it feels good. Well, it felt good. So, but it's so muddy back here with all this rain, it's just a mess. Water everywhere, mud everywhere. I couldn't find no hair, couldn't find no blood. Tony goes, you missed. I said, I didn't miss that deer, Tony. I know I didn't miss that deer. Although it took right off after I shot it. But which is normal. So finally I said, Lord, because we're looking for it. Now it's getting dark. I shot it like at 20 after 4. It's dark at 5. And I give it a little while to expire. So I climb down. And I'm like, Lord, just let me find that stupid deer. So it went pretty far, but I stumbled across it. And I hollered for Tony. He couldn't even hear me. And but you know what the first thing I said was? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to find this stupid deer. I probably said it just like that, as a matter of fact. But the thing is I think we ought to give God thanks for everything. I mean, even in stuff like that. I mean, I've lost deer before. It sickens my stomach. And if you've ever hunted, we've all lost them. But it's just sickening. I dream about it. It keeps me up at night. I mean, it really bothers me. I'm not joking on that. It's serious. But you know, so when you come across something, it wasn't 3 minutes after I said, Lord, help me find this stupid deer. That was a small buck. But I lost the big buck earlier this year. I still dream about that deer every night, if you want to know the truth, Joan. That was a nice one. Bugs me. But anyway, see, you shouldn't have mentioned it. Now it's already on my mind again. But it's just, so it wasn't 3 minutes after I said, Lord, and I stumbled across it. And Tony had walked that ridge, and but he was probably 50 yards only from the deer, but the deer's laying this way. And if you hunt, the deer's brown. The blanket in the woods is all brown from the leaves. The goldenrod is brown. Everything's brown, so you can't hardly see them. I mean, I've walked from here to that pew right there before I could see a deer laying dead. But I was looking this way, and I could see its white belly. It wasn't 3 minutes. I said, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. I think that ought to be the normal thing for our life. Now, one of the words that we think about when we think about praising the Lord is hallelujah. And hallelujah is translated usually in the Bible as praise ye the Lord. I don't know how many times it occurs in the Bible. I know it's in there quite a bit in these Psalms, and we'll look at some of them, but you'll notice this 146th Psalm begins with praise ye the Lord, and you notice in verse 10 it closes with praise ye the Lord. As a matter of fact, so does Psalm 147, 148, and 149. They all open and they all close with praise ye the Lord. And I think it's just something that we ought to do. Now, these Psalms, they're like poems. And an old preacher, Dixon his last name was, but this is about the end of the 1800s. He said this. He said, this psalm is a fine poem on nature. It begins by calling on the soul to bless God. Then it ascribes to God the greatness, honor, and majesty with the study of nature suggests to a religious mind. My outline is going to kind of follow that psalm. The light is God's garment. The heaven is a canopy which he has spread. The foundation of the ocean were laid by him. He makes the cloud his chariots and rides upon the wings of the wind. The thunder is his voice. He makes the springs which water bird and beast, the grass for the cattle, the trees for the nesting birds, the hills for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies are an expression of his love and wisdom. He made the laws which govern the sun and the moon. Even the darkness serves as a benefit. Serves a benevolent purpose. In the midst of this beautiful scene, man goeth forth to his labor unto the evening. You know, the first hallelujah is, and it's in Psalm 104, turn over there, it's a hallelujah of nature. Look at what it, now I wish we probably, this is a short message, we probably do have time to read this whole psalm, but it's 35 verses long. But this is a psalm all about praising God for nature. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O the Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with the garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariots, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. And it goes on and on with all of this stuff like this. It's all about what God created. And then the psalmist turns to the ocean a little bit after this. And he talks about that. He says, this great and wide sea, wherein all things creeping innumerable, with the ships on its surface and all the monsters playing in its deeps. God gives life and sustenance, and he gives all of this stuff. It is amazing. So I started with a story about a little story yesterday that happened when I was hunting. But can't you see God in nature? I love to be outside. I mean, I just love it. Good. Do you hunt? We probably ought to get together. But anyway, I just like being outside. But can't you look outside and see the beautiful nature? Now, you don't have to hunt and fish, by the way, to enjoy nature. I just do. But Faith, we like the snowmobile. I have a picture of Faith and I one day. I have a little mudroom, and I have a sink in there. That's where I'm supposed to wash my hands when I come out of the garage and all that stuff, but whatever. But over there, there's that picture that me and you, remember Brenda took a picture of us? We were up north by, what's that ski slope up by Turn? No Ridge. We were up there, and we were going up the backside of that hill, and the ice, remember that? The ice had come over those trees like this. Now, we can ride right along, but man, you just had to slow right down. It was just beautiful. So we stopped, and Brenda took our picture together. I still have that picture. But anyway, it was just beautiful. We were up one day going up by, some of you might know where, what's that name of that restaurant we eat at sometimes? The one up above Hideaway, High Market Inn. And we left High Market Inn, and we were coming around wherever we were, and there was this heavy snow that night, and about, 6 inches, and white birch trees were laying right over the trail just like this. And you drove right under them. And I mean, it was just beautiful. And there was just guys that day, and we were riding kind of stupid, if you want to know the truth. But we were scooting right along. But we slowed right down to a creep. I mean, it was just amazing. Now, some of you hate the snow. I have no idea what's wrong with you, okay, but I love it. You think there's something wrong with me. But the fact of the matter is, it can just be beautiful. And you need to take time out of your life and just pause and look at the beauty of nature. And by the way, this isn't even the original creation. You ever wonder what the original creation looked like? You're going to see that one day, you know, at the end. God makes all things new. But I mean to tell you, it's just beautiful. So stop and look around and learn to thank God for what there is. Okay, the rain. We complain about the rain, but the rain gives you vegetables to eat. And the rain gives the animals water to drink and you water to drink. And so then we kill these animals so that we can eat them, all right? But it all kind of does that way. I'm not trying to be funny there, but it is kind of funny the way they come out. But y'all like steaks? Well, if there wasn't rain and grass, you wouldn't be eating steaks. Or hamburger, or pork, or some of you love bacon. All that's, you know, all of these things are blessings from the Lord. How, now, and I thought about this, I was in a prayer time recently, in a prayer season, and I started thanking God for stuff that I'd never thanked God for before. Let me just get you to think about that. Some of the things you take for granted all the time. I had been at the hospital earlier that day, and this person was just, it was not good. And he's a paraplegic. He's paralyzed from chin down. I don't know what happened. And I thought to myself, you know what? I've got it pretty good. Yeah, I had a knee surgery, but that's all healing up pretty good. People keep asking me. I ruptured all the tendons in my finger. That's why my finger's screwed up. Now, just in case, it is totally pain-free. It ached for about 10 seconds one day, and I shook it off like that, and I went back to fishing. But my finger, I mean, it was, like, not good looking. And they said, you tore all your tendons. And I said, well, wouldn't you think it would hurt if I tore the tendons? She said, man, maybe not. Didn't hurt. It doesn't hurt at all. It's completely pain-free. I went like this when I first thought I had a cramp in my hand. But that's, you know what? But I'm pretty healthy. And so are most of you pretty healthy. And that's just something to thank God for. I see, I hear, I breathe, I smell, I have all my senses. Maybe not all of my senses, but I have all my God-given senses. And that didn't come out right. That was a good one. Anyhow, but you know what I mean. And so do you. So this afternoon, we don't go out to dinner every Sunday afternoon, but we're going to go out to dinner this afternoon. And some families do that. But I like to taste. You like to taste the food? You ever thank the Lord for your taste? Amen. That's what I'm kind of talking about when we talk about thanking the Lord in nature. Then I want to give you a second hallelujah. It's the hallelujah of God's providence. Now, that was Psalm 104. We didn't read it all. But if you read Psalm 105, it's a hallelujah of God's providence. It closes. Now, look, it says, oh, give thanks. Look at verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. And this, too, is a little bit of a lengthier psalm, because some of them toward the end of this book are very short. But look how this closes in verse 45. Praise ye the Lord. Now, some of you, and I have preached on this a few times in the last 6 or 8 months, some of you have got to learn to recognize the hidden hand of God, the providential hand of God. I can't explain it all the time. I don't understand how God knows, but he just knows. He's all-knowing. This psalm deals with the history of Israel, and the psalmist sees the footprints of God in history as well as in nature. Now, I think it was the providential hand of God is where our country came from. I really believe that. But this deals with Israel. It was God who covenanted with Abraham, made an oath with Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob. It was God who protected his people when they were but a few in number. It was God who called for a famine upon the land when prosperity had caused them to forget his God. Now, it's Thanksgiving, and Abraham Lincoln made a proclamation and how he said, we have been a nation that have been truly blessed of God, and he went on with that. But then he said this, but who knows what he said? We have forgotten God. You know, prosperity causes us to forget the Lord. Some say, well, if I could just have more money. If you had more money, there's a really good chance you'd forget the Lord. You know that? So there's some people, the more they get, the more they give. And, you know, some of these millionaires, they're up to like, they give 90% of their income away. People that, like JCPenney and Walmart and all those big, their businesses took off. They just love to give. But not everybody loves to give. And so prosperity, unfortunately, ruins a lot of people, and it ruins a lot of churches, and it ruins a lot of nations, and there is a good chance that it is one of the causes that has ruined our nation. But it was God who called for the famine of the land when prosperity had caused Israel to forget his laws. It was God who sent Joseph into Egypt, and then Moses as the deliverer of his people. And when you think about God sending Joseph into Egypt, his brother sold him into slavery. But that was all the providential hand of God. That's how he protected Israel. And then a little baby was born and put in a little, I'll call it a little floaty, the little thing they made there. And then the baby's found, and what do you know? It's just by coincidence that that baby's mother gets to raise that little boy. That's the providential hand of God. And God works that way. It was God who sent the darkness and turned the water into blood as you move forward into the later in Exodus with Moses and Pharaoh. It was God who spread a cloud over them for a covering and gave them fire to give them light by night. Now they're out of Egypt. It was God who opened the rock and quenched their thirst. They're in the wilderness wanderings. The psalmist closes with this review of God's providential dealings with a hallelujah. Thank God for the providential hand of God. You have to remember this verse. All things work together for good. Have you ever had anything in your life happen and you said, I know that verse, but I just don't see it? I've had that happen. But later on down the road, you can look back in hindsight and say, oh, now I get it. So I said earlier, sometimes you just have to trust the hidden hand of God. With some, it's easier to see God in nature than it is in providence. Maybe with most, it's easier to see God in nature than it is in providence. Jacob could praise God for the grass and the trees and the stars, but when Joseph was taken, he said, all these things are against me. On another occasion, the psalmist did not feel like praising, and he refused to shout hallelujah with his lips when his heart did prompt it. He said this, and you probably recognize the verse, why art thou cast down, O my soul? You read that before? He exclaims, and why art thou disquieted within me? And then he said this, hope thou in God, For I will yet praise him. I do not feel like praising now, but I will hope in God for the time to come, and I will praise him when I get there. Listen, indeed, I will praise God. He said, I will yet praise him. I'm just trying to encourage you to learn how to praise the Lord. And just when something happens, you just out of your, well, praise God. There really is no kind of experience in which Christians have a right to refuse to praise God. But we like to murmur and complain. I preached a series of sermons several years ago, and maybe I preach it again, on it was a put-on and put-off series, and it had to do, everything was the put-off was all the stuff we learned when we went through the people of Israel. Complain, murmur, gripe, this isn't right, that's not fair, this isn't good, this, we need this, I wish we had this, and on they were. I don't know how, well, you know what, I have sympathy for Moses. I get why he smote the rock. Now, I understand why he was in, I understand he was in disobedience, but I understand why he did it with those people, all right? But the fact of the matter is, there really is no time that we ought to not be praising God. We ought to be praising the Lord. We still say all things work together for good to them that love God. Someone said this, praise God in the dark, for he maketh the light to shine out of darkness. Praise God for sorrow, for Jesus said, your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Praise God for clouds, for it is upon the clouds that God shows his rainbow of love. Never thought of that. Praise God for the furnace, for it is in the fire that the Son of Man delights to walk with you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when you come out, you will find that only your bonds have been burned. He who obeys the command, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, has a hallelujah in his soul every minute and every of the day and in the night. So you've got the providential hand of God working, and you need to thank God for it. Thirdly, there's the hallelujah of grace. Now, in case you haven't figured this out, we looked at Psalm 104, nature, Psalm 105, and now you come to Psalm 106. This is a hallelujah of grace. It begins and closes. Look what how it does. They all do. So you got nature, you got providence, now you got grace. Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord. And then if you'll go to the last verse of this one also. Blessed be the God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say amen. Praise ye the Lord. Start, finish, start, finish. This is the third one in a row. Start, finish. And there'll be more here shortly. So it begins and closes with a hallelujah. And the keynote thing here is give thanks unto the Lord. And what did it say? For his mercy endureth forever. He prays, O visit me with thy salvation. He makes confession of his sin. He said, we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Then follows a recount of God's merciful dealings with his people in spite of their sins. Are you grateful for God's mercy? I mean, wow. You live with you. You know what kind of person you are. And you know that God extends mercy to you anyway. In spite of that. Praise the Lord, man. That's really good. He remembered for them, this is what it says, he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of their mercies. Wow. I know I preached on this last Sunday night a little bit, but we are New Covenant people. We're New Testament Christians, the majority of us here. God does things for us, not necessarily just for us. God does things for us for his great name's sake, the author of Hebrews says. Why do you think he spared Israel? He made a covenant with them. That was an unconditional, everlasting covenant. God was going to keep it no matter how bad those people got, and he did have to chastise them, you recall. But God does those things for his own name's sake. Thank the Lord for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. He remembered them for his covenant and repented according to the multitude of their mercies. You know the saved sinner? That'd be most of us. We can sing hallelujah of mercy even more loudly and sweetly than any other, because we're New Testament, and the New Testament is better than the Old. We can praise God. God's mercies fills him with song because his justice has been satisfied in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. Mercy is made possible only through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We have it better. Hallelujah for that's a hallelujah for the cross we sing. Praise God for the cross. It's the song of the redeemed. It's one of our songs. It comes to us from heaven, and it's going to return with us when we get to heaven. Hallelujah for the cross. Aren't you? Praise God for his grace and his mercy. Fourthly, then there's just simply the hallelujah of praise. So you got the hallelujah of nature, the hallelujah of providence, the hallelujah of grace, and you, how did I say that? You have the hallelujah of, I don't even know what I said. Grace, is that what it was? I didn't say mercy. The hallelujah of praise. Now, go to Psalm 111. The Lord said unto my, that's Psalm 110. Praise ye the Lord, I will praise the Lord with what? My whole heart. We got to praise God with our whole heart. After the hallelujah in Psalm 112, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mightily upon earth, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with direction. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Here's why. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire unto his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked, wow, shall perish. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. So Psalm 111 says, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Psalm 112 says, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. And then in Psalm 113, praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Can I tell you this? Can I remind you of this? What is the one thing that God is most jealous over? His worship. We are to praise God. God has no desire to share his worship with anybody. Do you know God's opinions about idols and idolatry? It's not a very favorable one. Now in Psalm 146, let's go back over there again. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. In Psalm 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. We ought to be singing praises to the Lord. It just ought to just be like normal. Psalm 146, Psalm 147, Psalm 148. Hallelujah, praise ye the Lord from the heavens. We ought to praise God. Now, the psalmist calls for the role of a hallelujah choir consisting of, you ever think about this? Angels, the sun, the moon, the stars, the heavens. Then he mentions the dragons of the deep, fire and hail and snow and vapors and strong wind and mountains and hills and trees and beasts and cattle and creeping things and flying things and men and maidens and old men and children. All praise God, let them that praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. And then you move on a little further to Psalm 149. Hallelujah, sing unto the Lord a new song, as if the thought and words were failing, the psalmist expresses praise to God. And then ultimately it comes to a highlight the last verse of the last psalm, it says, Psalm 150, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." By the way, ye is what kind of a pronoun? Personal pronoun. We're supposed to praise the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do. All of us. And it is a plural pronoun. All of us. Pronoun. From you and I. So we praise the Lord. And we sing unto Him. I just want to camp a moment here. When we're singing, everybody ought to be lifting up their voice in praise to God. You say, "I just don't sing good." When it gets to heaven, it'll be fine. Okay? Not everybody sings good. Listen, I've stood by people, and it's almost painful to stand by them. And here, I'll say that nicely. It's almost painful to stand by them and listen to them sing. But we ought to be praising the Lord in song. We listen to good music. We sing music. We express it. God is greater and more worthy of praise than the works of nature, the works of providence, the works of grace. It's all about praising God for who He is and what He's done. And then we have a couple other. Turn to Revelation chapter 19. You would like to leave this one out when you're just trying to encourage people, but you can't. There's a hallelujah in Psalm 119, Revelation 19, I mean. And it says in verse 1, "After these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord God, the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His," what? "Judgments." There's the hallelujah of judgment. And many people may not think that. That's what it says. "For true and righteous are His judgments, for He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah." The judgment is happening, and they say, "Hallelujah." "And her smoke rose up forever and ever." Now, I have said this before, and I want to say it again. God one day is going to balance the books of justice. Now, while that sounds cold and hard and harsh, it is a biblical reality. The hallelujah of judgment to some people is shocking. To let people know that God would allow sinners that are lost without Jesus to die and go to hell, they just can't see how a loving God can do that. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible teaches that a loving God does do that. And people who die without Christ perish, and they're in hell initially and the lake of fire eventually, right? That's what the Bible teaches. But to some, it's like, oh, no. But you know, there is a sense of they rejoiced when God sent judgment to the great whore. But you say, that seems cold and hard. Well, maybe it does. But it's a biblical reality. I read this somewhere, but when papers published the fact that a young man entered a large room in Buffalo, New York, and stood in line with those who were receiving the greetings of President McKinley, that he might murder the man who was ready to greet him with his kindness, some theologians in New England who had been preaching that there was no hell were frank enough to confess that there ought to be a hell for at least one man. For McKinley and his murderer ought not to be together in the same place. Somebody who said there is no hell had a change of mind when somebody shot the president. Now, the fact is, those kind of people don't escape hell. The other fact is, we all deserve it. You say, "Well, I haven't killed anybody. I didn't kill the president." No, but you've probably been angry enough at somebody, which Jesus made equal, and hated somebody maybe even. Well, Jesus even said that's equal to murder. You say, "Well, I've never committed adultery." No, but you might have looked at somebody and lusted, and Jesus said that's equal to adultery. So before we say, "Yeah, they deserve it, they deserve it, they deserve it," it's only by the grace of God that we don't get it, because we deserve it also. But the fact is, there is a rejoicing in the Scriptures here with God's judgment. There's one other one I want to point out. This is, for me, it's my favorite. It's in verse 6 of the same chapter. And it is the hallelujah of sovereignty. I was talking to, any of you know Bruce Craig, Pastor Bruce? We were somewhere at a conference and we were having lunch together. And we got talking. I said, I had preached that day at the pastor's conference and I had preached a sermon on the sovereignty of God. And he came up, he sat down, he says, you know, Charles Spurgeon used to preach that all the time to his people in England. I said, Brother Bruce, I said, for me, it is the greatest truth that I find comfort in all the Bible. The fact that God is sovereign. And then he made this comment, and without it, you'd go crazy. I said, that's exactly right. But look what it says. And I heard, as it were, the voice, I'm in verse 6, of a great multitude and the voice of many waters, and it's the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent, what? Reigneth. The word omnipotent is omnipotent. Potent is what? Power. He's all powerful. The Lord God Almighty, the Lord God all powerful, the Lord God omnipotent, he reigneth. Praise the Lord for his sovereignty. Somebody wrote a poem, not me. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne, yet the scaffold sways the future and behind the dim unknown. Standest God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. Aren't you grateful for the sovereign hand of God in control of everything? God seems to be dethroned in our world, but I'm going to promise you something, he's not. The fact that he does not strike some of these people the way they are is that the fact of the matter is that's an expression of his grace and mercy and patience and long suffering with them. Chris and I were talking, the other she made a comment. She says, some of these people are glad I'm not God, I'll tell you that. I used to have a professor in school that probably said that once every 2 or 3 weeks. He gets so frustrated with the wickedness in the world, he'd come into class and say that all the time. They're lucky I'm not God. And before he was a preacher, he was a policeman and a trooper. And he saw all kinds of nonsense stuff. That's what he would say. But aren't you glad for his mercy and his grace and his providence and his nature and even judgment? But aren't you glad for his sovereignty? You know, I thank God. How do you say this? I thank God one day God will balance the books of justice. But I thank God for every wretched sinner that comes to Jesus Christ and know him as a person as well. And never lose sight of that. When you witness to people, don't get to the place, and it's easy to get there, because some of these people just, they're cold, they're hard to the gospel. They could care less what you got to say. And don't walk away and say, well, there, I've done my duty, bless God. They'll get it. Hey, that's the wrong attitude. We are to have compassion and love and concern for people. But if they don't get saved, they are going to get what they deserve. I hope I balanced that properly. When I hear of a sinner coming to the Lord, I'm thankful for God's mercy. When I find out about judgment that's coming to the end, I thank the Lord that God will one day balance the book of justice. Father, it really is all about you. It's about praising you. It's about thanking you. It's about worshiping you. And I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that it would become the normal for all of us, that we would learn to praise and to thank you. I listed 5 or 6 things that there was given in those Psalms. I just kind of came across them as where we started there in the Psalm we read together. It just kind of outlines all those things. So Lord, I pray that we'd become a thankful people. The good times, the bad times, the mountaintops, the valleys, the little things that you do, when we lose our keys and we find them, we can just simply say, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. When we sit down for a meal, you provided it for us through nature, through our good health. You allow us to eat. The provision that you give us, the health that we have so we can work a job and provide for our own, the grace of God in saving our wretched souls from a devil's hell, your providence and how you work. Sometimes we even see nature easier than we see the providential hand of God, but we so thank you for it. And then, Lord, also for the sovereignty. Thank you that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. We don't know the sovereign will of you completely. I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago when we were preaching on the will of God. But we do accept it by faith, and we thank you for it. So cause us to recognize, if it's true in our life, the sin of unthankfulness, and to thank you for all things. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. With our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, why don't you spend a few minutes thanking the Lord for a few things in your life? And let me say, you can always begin with salvation. If you're here this morning and you know Jesus is your Savior, you can thank Him for salvation. Now we thank the Lord for the cup of coffee, which we're about to partake of because God has allowed us to have some here. All right, let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. I got to go get my Sunday school lesson. Father, we are grateful for the morning. Lord, it was an enjoyable service, but I hope it had an impact on people's life, that they will open their eyes to the goodness and the grace and to the mercy of God and just thank you all the way from creation to judgment and sovereignty. Learn, may you place it in our hearts to be a grateful and a thankful people, and not complainers and murmurers and gripers, but thankful in Jesus' name. Amen.